Somewhere on the fringes of the great galaxy we call the Milky Way, the little planet Earth spins through space. This planet is inhabited by creatures who, from the point of view of the universe, have scarcely existed for less than a fraction of an instant. With curious eyes, these human creatures scan the skies, painted with unnumbered sparks. And they wonder, who am I? Where am I going? Why am I here? Scientists upon this planet Earth study matter, weigh finite objects, and distill facts. The Earth's religionists seek to discover and make experienceable values, goodness, and the fruits of the spirit. Meanwhile, philosophers strive for wisdom and seek meanings by correlating facts with discernible values. Each discipline, science, religion, and philosophy, has claimed dominion within its own sphere. Matter has been the dominion of science. Mind has been the dominion of philosophy. Spirit is the dominion of religion. Since their dim beginnings, each discipline has sought exclusive solutions to the questions and problems of humankind. Science has provided humans with remarkable material progress. But science without values helped to build the gas chambers of the Holocaust. Philosophy without values began to turn within itself and drifted away from the active arena of life, finally proclaiming that the answer to man's profound questions is, there are no answers. Religionists too often have denied fact and crystallized into formula, or become muddled in a mire of compromise and sophistry. Meanwhile, the ordinary inhabitants of Earth fight and love, laugh and cry, and sometimes, in moments of reflection, suspect that they are not alone in the universe. Sometimes the ordinary citizen of Earth intuits a reality beyond what he can see. Meanings not yet gleaned, values not yet perceived. A few gifted mortals have hinted at a wondrous splendor undetected by our senses in their music, art, and poetry. But the ordinary mortal clings to the known, and the essence of his personality remains submerged, unchallenged, in relative slumber. Let us ponder the predicament of we fledgling mortals. Several intriguing possibilities may be explored. We could conjecture, in a universe suspected to be teeming with life, the existence of intelligences far more advanced than our own. Granting this thesis, we might imagine that such intelligences could observe the tenuous dawning of human consciousness with wise caution. We could speculate that, observing the ponderous and tedious evolution of our maturity and knowledge, these intelligences might elect to grant us an occasional partial glimpse, perhaps even a dramatic vision of our origin, status, and our ultimate destiny. This is the concept of revelation. Revelation, a portioned measure of knowledge, knowledge lost, or knowledge yet undiscovered. New knowledge to shock and energize the laggard, ease-loving minds of human beings. Indeed, the human mind has been described as endowed with an awesome ability to avoid enlightenment. The seeds of revelatory truth do not flourish easily in such resistant soil. Even so, granting our thesis, let us explore another remarkable possibility. Nearly 2,000 years have passed since the wondrous personality of Jesus of Nazareth revealed the living light of a loving Father Creator to this grievously wounded planet. Since those days when Jesus walked the earth, the evolution of truth has brought mankind through centuries of gross materialism to the very brink of an exhilarating new age. And now, we believe that a new revelation has been granted to comfort, inspire, and instruct those searching souls who wait in this penumbra before the dawn. The new revelation we have come to believe is called the Urantia Book. The Urantia Book declares within its pages that it comes to us from higher universe intelligences, and that it comes not to supplant, but rather to supplement this planet's religious creeds and persuasions. The Urantia Book comes not as an infallible final word, but rather as perhaps the most generous vision yet granted of humankind's origin, its status, and its ultimate destiny. The Urantia Book comes to us, we believe, as the most profound revelation possible for these days and these generations. After lengthy preparation, the Urantia Book was published in 1955, and from the beginning, its authenticity was not based upon the little known of its origin, nor upon any individual, nor upon any authoritarian inner circle of specially favored human beings. The message of the Urantia Book must be validated in the living laboratory of individual personal experience. We are asked to consider the book's contents in the same spirit we would consider any other book, in the light of our own perception of truth. From this vantage point, we can enjoy the unfolding of a splendid panorama of the relationships of mind, matter, and spirit. We may wish to consider accepting those things which ring true to us, those things which appeal to our own light within and satisfy our own needs. We may be wisely tolerant of those concepts we find less than refreshing and pass them by, not in rejection, but rather in the spirit that we may elect to consider them another time, in some other personal season of searching. As a material object, the Urantia Book is somewhat imposing. 2,097 pages, over 1,000,000 carefully composed words. As a philosophical document, the Urantia Book is precisely consistent, often unfathomably profound, and immense in implication and import. As a spiritual manifesto, the book is wondrously fragrant, a symphony of words that is harmonious, enthralling, and inspiring. The theme of truth, beauty, and goodness repercusses through the pages of the Urantia Book, and the corresponding disciplines of science, religion, and philosophy are synthesized within its pages with a mastery that is perhaps unparalleled by any document on earth. As readers of the Urantia Book, we are figuratively transported over incredibly vast physical distances, beyond, beyond, beyond the countless, countless clusters of stars to the material, mindal, and spiritual linchpin of all creation, to the timeless, spaceless essence of perfection, paradise. The book discloses that from this eternally perfect nucleus descends the supreme creative powers of Almighty God to the vast evolutionary universes beyond. The goal of God's stupendous creative enterprise is revealed. God seeks to allure the willing and free cooperation of all creatures of will dignity, and in partnership with them, to recreate in time and space the pattern of perfection, which is at the core of the entire universe. And such a universe, before our stunned imaginations, unfolds a master universe of virtually incalculable magnitude, largely submerged from human observation, and so much vaster than many scientific estimates. Here also is a universe that is evolving, seeking perfection, and becoming something ever new. A universe that is much like the mind of the scientist who ponders its secrets, and so much more personal than the impersonal, pitiless, valueless machine the scientist has sometimes postulated it to be. God the Father, the first source and center, the primal cause, escapes the confines of perfection and absoluteness, and vicariously participates with his creature children in their evolutionary struggles to find light and life. For even in this Urantian postulate of a universe more vast than our minds can grasp, is the positive assurance of the Father's personal concern. Even his actual presence, ever available to each creature of will dignity, available to the most humble as well as the most splendid, anywhere in his far-flung creation. Indeed, we human creatures are the ascending children of the Eternal Father. And we shall one day, when all is said and done, return home. We shall return in glory as spiritual pilgrims of time and space to the source of all things, to the embrace of our loving Father. This is an eternal truth. We are children of the living God. Humankind, as children of God, is not a new concept. However, as we turn the pages of the Urantia book, an astounding new model emerges of the human creature, this child of God. This is a startling concept. A postulation of almost limitless potential is portrayed, a potential even more vast and challenging in its implications of a rich universe within than the staggering revelation of a well-nigh limitless universe without. In fact, human beings are in the process of becoming, in much the same manner as the immense universe is evolving. And eventually, in the mansion worlds of time and space, is born a magnificent new universe citizen. This new creature is the creation of God and man in partnership. A new creature, ever appreciating the gift of eternal life because it has passed through the portals of death. A creature who loves light with an awesome passion because it has known the desolation of darkness. A creature of indomitable courage, because it has learned to savor the romance and charm of an unknown future. A creature possessed of unflinching faith, because it has believed through rivers of tears. Faith because it has trusted when its human heart was shattered by adversity. And faith because it has learned to remain steadfast when its cherished aspirations were swept away without a trace. No wonder the universe values this new creature. No wonder the universe seeks to assist this unquenchable child of faith, even in its tenuous and pathetic earthly beginnings. And no wonder all the universe prizes the mysterious secrets of these dauntless spiritual warriors who have believed that which they have not yet seen. By the time we have turned the first two-thirds of the pages of the Urantia book, we have figuratively traveled from the source of all things, all the way to the origin of humans of will, creature, dignity upon our planet. We have learned much, very much, about ourselves. We have considered new and intriguing information about the history of Earth, about its formation, its geological development, how life was established and nurtured, and finally, the entire tragedy-laced history of humankind has been dramatically portrayed. Yet, there remains the most rewarding treasure of all. In the final section of the Urantia book, we learn how unfathomably the Father loves us. Here, in rich and vivid detail, is the life and teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. Nearly all of the massive array of volumes of literature about Jesus are based upon the glorious writings of the New Testament. Yet who has not hungered for more? Who has not longed to walk beside the Master on the hot, dusty roads of Israel? Or who has not desired to sit at his feet and thrill to more of his wondrous words? Who has not thirsted to be revitalized by the ever-fresh fountain of the Son of Man? Here, in precious clarity, is the expanded story of Jesus. The story of the birth and early life, of his youthful years of growth and decision, of his first dazzling glimpses of his true nature. Here is the glorious ideal of a perfectly enlightened human mind, struggling, even as we must, to reconcile the leading of the Spirit with the rugged realities of life upon this planet. We feel the disillusionment of the youthful Jesus when confronted by the appalling arrogance of formalized, fossilized religious tyranny. We are enraptured spectators during the Master's compassionate search for the source of human agony and the riddle of humankind's self-created bondage. In these pages, we can marvel as never before at his patient and intense study of and love for his human creations. We learn of the many journeys and experiences of Jesus as he galvanized his single-minded purpose on the planet, to discover and to do the will of his Father. The Urantia book discloses with satisfying depth how Jesus selected and trained a group of ordinary human hearts and minds, a tiny band of men and women, who would one day blaze majestic trails of ministry and service all over the civilized world. Many of the Master's unparalleled discourses are recorded here, brimming with practical, idealistic wisdom and a revolutionary philosophy of living that has yet to be tested by his children upon this planet. We are virtually at the side of the Son of God as he is daily crucified on the cross of human ignorance, pride, and fear until that ghastly day when a shudder of horror ran through the universe, the day when mankind murdered their loving, gentle creator on a desolate hill called Golgotha. Then we witness the Master's breathtaking appearances before his disciples and apostles, and finally, we are there when Jesus bids farewell to this planet and disappears from human sight. His words will burn in every believing heart. Remember the life I have lived among you. And indeed, here is a precious gift to humankind. Pages to be treasured. Pages that depict the most important knowledge we can acquire. The life of Jesus and how he lived it. It was a life to inspire each human soul, a flawless ideal. And at last, he sent his own living presence to dwell within each truth-seeking heart. When, as readers, we turn the final page of the Urantia book and close its covers, we are likely to sense that we have been touched by unseen friends, and that we will never be the same again. We are persuaded we indeed dwell in a universe of living love. We know we need but turn our hearts to the glow within, and our entire being will be flooded with the light that does not grow dim, but grows ever brighter. Thus inspired, assisted, indwelt, assured, and companionized, we make our way home. We have learned also to look for the light of truth in each religion, and to enhance and embellish that truth in the gracious manner of the Master. Let us, as brothers and sisters, discover those truths that we can share and focus on those truths. Let us seek areas of agreement. Let us treasure those values we mutually hold dear. By their fruits shall you know them. The truths of your own beliefs and the truths of our Urantia book. These truths shall bear fruit indeed. If we are mutually faithful to the light we have been entrusted with, for all religions contain truth. We are admonished, say not that you have found the truth. Rather, say you have found a truth. Let us share our truths as long-lost brothers. We shall each the greater be. Remember the life I have lived among you. Love men as I have loved you. Serve your fellow man as I have served you. By the fruits of your lives, impel souls to believe the truth that man is a son of God and that all men are brothers. My love overshadows you. My spirit dwells with you. My peace abides upon you. I am with you always.